We seek your face. Father, we honor you. In humble adoration, we come before your throne. Your mighty presence that is to be revealed in this hour for all the earth to see. As we go into your word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all those that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all our hearts, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing mentioned in their individual lives, agreed and said, Amen. This afternoon, I have a very important message that the Lord has given me to share, not just for here in Scripture Pastures, actually for the body of Christ, particularly in the light of the recent American election. A lot of respected prophetic voices said, God said, but it didn't happen that way. It hasn't happened that way. And I know this will bring a lot of confusion and a lot of questions in the hearts of many of God's people. Hence, this message, which I've entitled, Understanding Prophecy and the Prophetic Ministry or Office. Let me begin by saying what prophecy is. Prophecy is speaking by divine inspiration. When you're talking normally, you're not prophesying. But when an unction or an anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you now begin to speak by divine inspiration, so that the words you now speak are no longer just human words, but they now come from the Holy Spirit. This simple gift of prophecy is something that the Bible encourages every Christian to develop. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 14, I believe it's in verse 31, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, okay, it says, for you may all prophesy. It's the will of God. He wants us to, we're his children, he wants us to speak from him by inspiration. Another place, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, says covet. The Bible says we should not covet. But if there, he says, covet to prophesy. Another operation of this gift of prophecy is using the combination gifts of what is known as the diversities of tongues and interpretation. you give what we call in Pentecostal circles, assemblies of God, they call it, you give a message in tongues, then somebody will interpret it. You give an utterance in tongues and somebody will interpret it. You don't see that much again. Like when I first got born again, I saw a lot of that in that little church I went to in Paddington in London, pastored by Bernard and Ida Porter, both of whom have gone home to be with the Lord. I actually operated that gift with them. It was wonderful. I would get up, you know, after some months I'd been there, I'd get up, I'd give an utterance in tongues. Many times Mrs. Porter will interpret or Pastor Porter will interpret. Sometimes Mrs. Porter will give an utterance in tongues and her husband will interpret. I learned greatly from that how God moves, because many of the things they would say, I know that in the natural, they didn't even agree with some of those things. They didn't even believe some of those things. And it helped me to, I actually saw God in operation. So I knew that these gifts are real. And they are good. And they are wonderful. However, this simple gift of prophecy is different from the operation of the office of the prophet. The simple gift of prophecy does not normally carry any specific details or predictions. It is to exhortation, edification, and comfort. When the simple gift of prophecy, which he says all may prophesy, that you should covet to prophesy, when it is in operation, it speaks by inspiration from God, but in generalities. I'm with you, I will strengthen you, I will link, things like that. It is unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. If you're going through a difficult time, I gave the testimony during the Bible study, I will not repeat the whole thing, but twice while I was in that church, I was in a difficult situation and nobody said, oh, you know, go to this person and if you go to this place, they will give you 100 naira. No specifics. It was just, I'm with you, and comfort. And it was a confirmation to me. And it did do that. It edified me. It exhorted me. It comforted me. When I was coming back to Nigeria, the same thing. He didn't say, oh, when you get to Nigeria, you go to Calabar and then you go to Lagos and you go to this. Mm-mm. No specifics, no names. It was the simple gift of prophecy in operation that was confirming, that was clarifying, comforting, and strengthening me that I knew that I was in the right direction, you know. However, when you move into the office of the prophet, that operation moves to another level. In the office of the prophet, many times it will contain, in addition to the simple gift of prophecy, a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. And these two gifts are carried through the avenue of the gift of the discernings of spirits. As we're going to see as I go on, discernings of spirits is not the same thing as discernment. And I believe that's where the waters have been muddied and confused, particularly in recent times. And I will show you from scripture. When the office of the prophet is in operation, you find that sometimes the word of the Lord will come to the prophet and there will be a word of knowledge, which will now be specific. It may contain names, it may contain places, times, details. Sometimes it's a word of wisdom. The difference between the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge is the word of wisdom is futuristic. It tells you what's going to happen. The word of knowledge tells you about what already has either happened or is happening. For instance, when Gehazi left the presence of Elisha to go and meet Naaman the Syrian, when Elisha said they were not going to take any money from him after he had been healed by going to the Jordan River, Gehazi runs after the man and he, you know, says, you know, he told a lie. My boss says, you know, my master said we need clothes and all of that. So the man was so happy, he gave him everything. So Gehazi comes back and the prophet asked him, he said, where have you gone? He said, thy servant went no thither. He said, went not my heart with thee? And I saw the man turn inside the chariot and he gave you the clothes. Is it a time to get clothes and all of that? He said, behold, the leprosy of Naaman will come upon you and your seed forever. That's how Gehazi lost his ministry. But what happened was that there was a word of knowledge that God gave the prophet. So he actually saw what happened maybe 30 minutes, an hour earlier, when Gehazi went to Naaman. It was specific. It was detailed. When the prophet's ministry is in operation, it carries a word of wisdom and the word of knowledge many times through discerning of spirits. Not always, but it sometimes will come through a discerning. Discerning of spirits is the ability to see and hear into the realm of the spirit. And that's where visions, trances, and visions come in. I learned most of these things through Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin was one of the most developed prophets in our generation before he went home to be with the Lord. And he taught these things with a lot of balance and a lot of caution and warning. That's where I learned all of these things from. And that's where God really helped me over the years, so I didn't get off into excesses, which I'm going to correct in a minute, you know, and into a lot of excesses is actually the best word to use, you know, and sometimes error and confusion. Because he warned. I can remember Kenneth Hagin saying, don't seek visions. Or you can open up to the devil. Does God give visions? Of course. Does God give dreams? Of course. But it is not his primary way of speaking, even in the prophetic ministry. Sometimes you can have a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge if you're operating in that ministry with that unction without a vision, without a dream. And it can come directly from the written word. And then it can come with detail. It can come with, you know, specifics, which you don't get in the simple gift of prophecy. Now, what happens, and what has been happening in the body of Christ, is that there are a lot of Christians who they prophesied maybe once or twice, and then they now think that they can start operating in the office of the prophet, and then they now try to push a button to start the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and that is where the errors and the excesses come in and the inaccuracies come in. You can't do that. Because these gifts are as the Spirit wills, not as you will, not as I will. I also remember Kenneth Hagin telling us about the story of William Branham. William Branham was a great prophet, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And he operated the word of wisdom and the more really word of knowledge and gifts of healings together in a spectacular manner. William Branham could be in a meeting like this, and maybe somebody's sitting over there, and he will tell you, stand up. He will tell you your name. He doesn't know you. He will tell you the house, the address of your house, the number of the address of the hospital that your doctor is, and what your doctor told you is wrong with you. Then he will tell you, check yourself, now you are healed, and the person will be healed instantly. Those things happened. They were great. This was in the 1940s after World War II. You know, they were great manifestations of the office of the prophet, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Was more word of knowledge. They had a little bit of word of wisdom too, you know, and great miracles and things would happen. But it didn't happen every day. In fact, most of the time it was occasional. But because people had come to expect, they come to the meeting and they now expect a word of wisdom and there is none, in order to pander to the crowd, some of these men started pushing buttons when God didn't push it. And it led them into error. In particular, Branham, after some time, there was a particular meeting that happened. I remember Kenneth Hagin telling us the story, you know, and he gave something, but it wasn't God. And the Holy Spirit whispered to Kenneth Hagin, familiar spirit. Familiar spirit. Sadly, William Branham died. He died in his 50s or 60, early 60s, something like that. And the word of God came to Kenneth Hagin and said, you know, and Gordon Lindsay, these were two great men that went to, you know, and these were men who helped Branham, you know, they were all in the Voice of Healings together. You know, they had this association that was started by by Gordon Lindsay, called the Voice of Healings. Many of the great preachers, Oral Roberts was there, T.L. Osborne was there, all these great men, they were there, you know. And but they now told him, they said, look, you're getting off a little bit. You need to, you know, correct some of these things. But he wouldn't listen to them. So Ken Hagin prophesied and said, he that stands in the forefront of the office of the prophet, so he's going to make a mistake. And he was going to die if he doesn't correct it. And they went to tell him. They begged him. But he didn't listen to them. Because he had had greater miracles than they had had in their ministries. And it exactly happened like it was said. I think he had a car accident. I don't remember the details. And he died. You know, the brethren didn't bury him. The brethren refused to bury Branham. They thought he was going to be raised from the dead because they had seen such great miracles that God had done through him. I think they kept him for 3 days, 4 days. Then when it became obvious that he was not going to, they now buried him. In fact, they called Kenneth Hagin on the phone and God Lindsay, come and pray. Kenneth said, I can't come and pray. We told him what's going to happen. I don't, you know. I said that to make us understand the difference between the simple gift of prophecy and the prophetic office. The prophetic office has within it the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge that contain many times details and specifics given by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian can prophesy, but not every Christian is a prophet. Ye may all prophesy, but you're not all prophets. The Bible says you may all prophesy. He said, but let the prophet speak. Two or three. And if something be revealed to the other, let the other one sit down and let the others judge. It takes time. It takes spiritual growth. It takes sensitivity to the Spirit to operate in the prophetic ministry and the call of God. And there's an unction that comes with it. And you dabble into it if God didn't call you into it simply because you prophesied once or twice or you want to try and make a show. You open the door to familiar spirits that can tell you things that are not correct and that are not accurate. I want to go into the Bible to explain the difference between the gift of prophecy and the prophetic office. And we're going to look in Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. This is the ministry of Paul. Again, I want to give the credit and the glory to God and the credit to Kenneth Hagin. These things I'm teaching you, I heard from him, you know. You know, if you're reading your Bible, if you don't have a teacher and a prophet to open it to you, you won't even see it. Now, in Acts chapter 21, Paul, this was the time Paul had left Ephesus and he was going to Rome because, the Jews had accused him and they had put him in the hand of the centurion to take him to Rome to go and appear before Caesar. So, on the way, there were some brethren. Acts chapter 21, verse 4. Acts chapter 21, and look at verse 4. Because of time, I'm not going to. Acts 21, excuse me. Acts 21, verse 4. Thank you. And finding disciples. I didn't hear you. They weren't prophets, they were disciples. They were just ordinary Christians. We tarried there 7 days. Who said to Paul, how? Through the Spirit. They prophesied that he should not go up to Jerusalem. That's what the disciples said. Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. They were not totally wrong, but they were not totally right. You see, they picked from the Spirit that this journey Paul is going on is going to be dangerous. Then they put their own on top. Don't go. God didn't say don't go. Now let's move to Acts chapter 21 and look at verse 11. Acts 21, verse 11. Observe. And as we tarried there many days, I didn't hear you. There came down from Judea a certain prophet. I would say prophet, not disciple. It was Kenneth Hagin that brought this out. You know, I'd read this. You know, that's the thing about, you know, mature teachers. They will show you, you know, there's a difference. Those other guys were disciples. They weren't prophets. Now, a mature prophet comes on the scene. And what does he do? He said, there came down a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, look at the specifics. He took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and his feet. And said, thus saith the Holy Ghost. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owned this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. He didn't say don't go. He just told him what was going to happen to prepare him for it. You know what the brethren did? Look at the next verse. When we, Luke is the one writing, heard these things, you know, they had got the first one from the disciples. Both we and them said you should not go to Jerusalem. God did not say Paul shouldn't go to Jerusalem. That's where his destiny was. Not to go to Jerusalem and Rome later on. That's where his destiny was. He had been ordained by God to appear before King Agrippa, King Felix, the governor Felix, and then later on, before Caesar. And you see this in Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. This is the trip that Paul went on. And I'm going to talk about this as I go on. But I just want to bring out this fact. There were, you know, Paul Let me just say it even now. You know, Paul said something when they were going to go on that trip. He said, I perceive that this trip is going to be with the danger of our lives as well as of the ship. Now, Paul didn't say they shouldn't go. What he was saying is that they should wait. They were in a particular place and they wanted to go. Paul, don't let's go yet. Because there's going to be a storm. You're actually done. But they didn't listen to him. The captain of the boat didn't listen to him. So they went. They got into the shipwreck, you know. Then an angel... Let's look at... verse 22, Acts chapter 27. It's very important we understand this thing. That's why they're written for us. So we understand the differences and we don't cross the lines. Paul fasted and prayed, you know. So they were all, you know, discouraged, thinking they were going to die. So he said, now I exhort you. I didn't hear you. Verse 22. To be of good cheer, that there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Again, you see specifics. For how did he get this information? For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. This is discerning of spirits. This is the office of the prophet in operation. He gets a specific word with detail, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You see, Paul had discerning of spirits. An angel told him exactly what was going to happen, you know. And he now told him that nobody is going to lose their life. He gave him a specific word, a specific detail. This confirms what I said earlier on, that God was not saying he shouldn't go. Otherwise, the angel would not tell him that you have to go before Caesar. Now, I want to teach something that is of great importance. And I believe it's the root cause of the problem we're having now in the body of Christ. And I want us to be generous. And I want us to be gracious. Some of our brethren have missed it. But it doesn't mean they are false prophets. And it doesn't mean they are bad men. It's just operating, having a lack of understanding and crossing some lines that we shouldn't cross. And it's a lesson for all of us. The whole body of Christ. And that's why the Lord has asked me to come and teach this in detail this afternoon. There is a big difference between what I discern and what I perceive and what God said. You see this in Paul's ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, when he's talking about marriage, you see Paul toggle between the two. There's one place where Paul said, let's go there so that you can get what I'm talking about. In his Acts 37, he said, I perceive. He didn't say, God told me. But his perception was accurate. Now, what happens with some of us is that we perceive some things in our spirit or from our spirit that we believe God is saying. Then we now change it to thus saith the Lord. You just crossed a line. If you do not have a specific something from God, it's only your perception. It may be God. It may not be God. Or let me even put it in a better way. It may be a little bit of God and some of it is not of God. Because your own human perceptions and everything have come in. And you see this in operation in the New Testament. Paul didn't tell them God said we shouldn't go. Paul just said, I perceive. But when the angel appeared, he didn't say, I perceive. He said, God told me there will be no loss of life. The sheep were going to lose it, but none of you would die. That's specific. That was the word of the Lord. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me just use it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'll put a lot of scripture behind these things. And let's look at verse 10. Paul is writing this letter under unction, but he had enough spiritual maturity and enough spiritual discernment to know the difference between when God spoke and when it's him. So see what he says. He says, unto the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. Then, verse 12. But to the rest, speak I, not the Lord. Speak I, but not the Lord. It takes, honey, listen to this. It takes humility, honesty, and discernment to know the difference between when it is you and when it is God. And one of the problems our brethren have had is that sometimes they are perceiving something, it is them, and then they put thus saith the Lord on top of it. And then it becomes inaccurate. Look at, speak I, not the Lord. If any man have a brother that believeth not, and should be pleased with him, let him not put out. He said, I said that. Then look at verse 25. We use that often, you know, talking about, you know, the mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Now, look at this. Why is all this thing recorded? So that we can understand the difference between my discernment, and it's not discerning of spirits. Discernment just means my perception. And the more I grow spiritually, and the more I have the mind of Christ, the more accurate that discernment will be. To the point where my discernment and God's discernment will become the same. But it takes growth to get there. Look at what Paul said. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained the mercy of the Lord to be faithful. And then he goes to tell them the instruction. And you know what? God stamps it as scripture. God stamps it as scripture. And that's where we have to understand that we have to give ourselves room. So when you receive something or you perceive something, you need to ask yourself, is this me or is this the Lord? And that's where prayer, the word of God, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, you know, come in. I like what my wife was telling me, I think just yesterday. She said, that's why I'm very careful. And I take time to pray. Even if I have something, I brood on it. I pray and pray until I am settled. This God. If more of our people would do that, we will not get into some of the confusion that we've gotten into. So there's a difference between the simple gift of prophecy and the prophetic office. Do we need prophecy? Do we need the prophetic office? Most assuredly, yes. Like I gave my own testimony. You see, you're not supposed to be led by prophecy or by the prophetic office, but God uses them to confirm, to clarify, and to amplify the leading he has already put in your spirit or through your spirit by the witness and the word of God. When you have the witness and you have the word of God, then God now sends the prophetic, either a prophecy or the prophetic office, to come and confirm, to come and clarify, to come and amplify. That happened to me when I was in England. God sent that prophet from Scotland. I didn't know him. We became friends later after. But I didn't know him at first. They were praying for me. He just came and joined them. But Pastor Potter knew him. He was one of the brethren in Assemblies of God. His name was Brother Dennis. And as they laid hands on me, Dennis just lay and he began to prophesy about my ministry and you know what I was going to. And practically everything has come to pass. How I would go, you know, and I would teach, you know, about the life of God, you know, and I would lead the people of the body of Christ. Everything. And he didn't know because I had it in me. I had the word. I had the witness. Then he just confirms it. That is the correct use of the gift of prophecy. And offer. It is not to lead you. You don't go to a prophet and say, give me a word. It's very common in America. Everybody wants a word. It doesn't work like that. You can't come to me and say, Pastor Lupi, give me a word. I cannot manufacture a word. Become as the Spirit wills. And majority of the time, he may not say anything. So you have to go back to this, the Bible. People don't want to do the homework. They don't want to pray. They don't want to fast. They don't want to seek God. They want some prophet to just come and tell them everything in their life. If you have that, you're not operating by faith. I'm going to get to all that in a minute. So, the prophet's ministries is important. We need it to confirm, to clarify, and to amplify what God is already saying to the church. Let me make a distinction between them. The simple gift of prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And I've given you the examples. The prophet's office is to confirm, clarify, and apply for the purposes of God. The purposes of God in your life as an individual, and more importantly, for the church corporately. So the prophetic office also has the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge that comes from the word of God that tells us what God's plan, what God's purpose is for now, the immediate future. You know, sometimes the far future, but sometimes the immediate future, and begins to prepare the church for it. The prophet's ministry primarily answers the question, when? This is God's purpose, but when? So as the time approaches, God will bring a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge to the prophet and tell him to go and tell the church, sometimes corporately, sometimes individually, that this is the purpose of God and the time for it is approaching and you need to do X, Y, Z. You know, these are the things you need to do so that you can enter into the purpose. And that is why in 2 Chronicles chapter 20:20, talking about Jehoshaphat, the Bible says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Spirit and the Word. You see, the word and when you pray, I'm talking about your own spirit now, not prophecy. You know, that's why you need the word and you need the Holy Spirit. Mommy was telling me, she was sharing this, you know, with the intercessors yesterday in Gideon's army and all of that. You need the word, you need the Spirit. I'm going to still come back to the word before I close. You know, so that's how you get established. Then, believe his prophets. So shall you prosper. The ministry of the prophet now comes on the foundation of the establishment of the word and the spirit. And when we talk about prosper, we're not talking about money alone. You prosper in the purpose that the prophetic word brings. I want to give another example from the life of Kenneth Hagin. This one I'm about to give, I've shared it many times here in church before, but it bears repetition in this context, and I'll just make it very brief. I was a young Christian, and I'd baptized in the Holy Spirit. I began to pray in tongues, you know, read the word and all of that. And I knew God had
a purpose for me.
But I really didn't have a clear direction. I wasn't even at the meeting. Ken Hagen, they sent a tape from Tulsa. I would use my money and I'll order for tapes. So this thing came. And he had actually prophesied it a year before. He was in John Osteen's church. You know this Joel Osteen, his dad. Joel was just still a kid then. He must have been about 10 years old or something. This is 1979. You know? So his dad and Ken Hagen were very tight friends. So Kenneth Hagin goes to preach in John Osteen's daddy's church. Joel Osteen's, you know, his daddy's name was John Osteen. As he gets to the pulpit and he opens the Bible and he wants to start to preach, suddenly he has discernings of spirits. Turn to your neighbor and say, discernings of spirits is not discernment. Discernings of spirits is seeing into or hearing in the spirit realm. People have confused discernment and discernment. When you discern something, it's not discerning of spirits. Discern of spirits is you see clearly. Like God, Paul saw that angel. The angel appeared to him. That's not discernment. When they were going through the journey, an angel didn't appear to him. He said, I perceive. There's a big difference between discerning and discerning of spirits. And when you try and make your discerning as if it's discerning of spirits, you can enter into error. If you have discerning of spirits, let me tell you, no, it will be clear. So, Kenneth Hagin has discernings of spirits. Two angels flying to the auditorium. Both of them had wings, and then they circled around. Then one angel said to the other angel, ho, ho, ho. What about the future? The second angel replied and said, I don't know. Only God knows. And then the second angel now said, you know, but sometimes he will reveal it to the sons of men. It was after that angel said that the word of the Lord came to the prophet. Like it used to be in the Old Testament. It came to him and said, son of man, prophesy unto these people. And say unto them, the end is not yet. And just to make it short, there were no specifics. Olubi's name was not there. Kenneth Copeland's name was not there. The year was not there. There were no specifics, but the prophetic word of the purpose of God was given through the prophet in a spectacular fashion through the ministry of those angels. Basically, what he said was this. Some people get born again. He said the end is not yet because the church has not yet moved in the fullness of, I'm just paraphrasing, in the fullness of the glory. That's basically what he said. He said some people get born again and they stop there. You know, then others get filled with the Holy Spirit and they stop there. He said, but there are others who are going to go further in the end time and renew their minds with the word. And they will begin to understand that the gifts and the manifestations of the Spirit is for them. They've put it on the thank you, Bimbo, because we have it. That was for them. And they dedicated themselves and consecrated themselves and separated themselves from the carnal, from the natural, so that they could be holy vessels meet for the master's use. And they entered further into the realm of the miraculous. He went on to say, it's one of the things that helped me. It helped, especially when I came back to Nigeria and I saw this rash of everybody calling themselves prophet. Ken Hagin said, under unction, he said, men will stand in the office of the prophet in the full measure, not in the partial measure, as I have, as some have. And this man that is talking, since 1950, from 1950 to the late 80s, early 90s, Jesus must have appeared to him in clear discerning of spirits, you know, maybe about 10 or 15 times. And every time he appeared to him, he would teach him from the Bible. It wasn't, you know, a dream that he has to try and reason out himself. He appeared to him, you know, and spoke to him. But it wasn't every day. Thank you, darling. Not only in these days will the gifts of spirit have been manifestation to some extent, being further manifestation. Thank you, darling. The ministry gifts also will be in manifestation. Men will stand. And we haven't entered this as I speak today. We're near it, but we haven't entered into its fullness.
In the fullness, in the office of the prophet, in the full measure. Not in the partial measure. And this is a person God, Jesus appeared to almost 20 times. And it's partial measure. So what are these kids talking about today? Are you listening to me? In the full measure. Not in the partial. And men shall rejoice. They said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Anyway, the conclusion of the prophecy was, you know, we're going to enter what we've been talking about, the fullness of the glory of God, you know, and it is only after that that Jesus will come. That thing made my life clear. I now understood my purpose. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. When I got that prophecy from Ken Hagin, it confirmed to me what God had been saying. God had been speaking to me about Ephesians chapter 4, all these things, you know, growing into the fullness of Christ. He had been there. But without prophecy now gave me clarity. And it was with that I came back to Nigeria. I knew where I was going. I knew what I was coming to do. That's why you need prophets. So, one other thing I'll just mention here. You know, I can't go into detail. See, you have fivefold anointing. Evangelist, pastor, teacher, prophet, and apostle. There are actually anointings more than they are. We call them offices, but it's correct, you know, because the anointing is the anointing that enables you to stand inside the office. They are functional. And this is what they do. It was the Lord who gave me this understanding, this revelation. It's like the production line in a factory. I've never heard anybody say this before. You know, but it's so clear to me, and it makes me understand perfectly how the things on they operate. The production line of a factory, you know, the raw material is a sinner. You put him on a conveyor belt. The first anointing that brings him in is the evangelistic anointing. He passes it on to the pastoral anointing. Then he passes it on to the teaching anointing. Then he passes it on to the prophetic anointing. Then he passes it on to the apostolic anointing. And at the end of it, the finished product is fullness of Christ. That is God's plan. Now, those anointings, they are interwoven with each other. So you can have one man who may have the teaching anointing and the prophetic anointing in one man, like Paul. In fact, Paul had all of them. You see him doing evangelistic work. Then you see him pastoring in Antioch. Then you see him, you know, as a prophet and a teacher. And then finally you see him as an apostle. And God made the thing clear to me. He said, stop worrying about titles. Concentrate on growth. As you grow, I know what to anoint you with. I anoint you, and you, it's not the title that makes you who you are. It's the anointing and the product. So, I just mentioned that in passing. Let's now begin to round up and conclude. So, how then do we make these discernments, this, and how do we operate? I want to say what I said earlier on. We need to be gracious. Our brethren may have they've missed it. They have missed it. But even great prophets miss it. Don't let's condemn people, you know. But it is important that we humble ourselves and take correction so that we do not make the same mistake over and over and over and over again. My wife was telling me about Samuel and Jonah. Samuel, when he went to Jesse's house, when he saw Eliab, he said, surely the Lord's anointed stands before me. Samuel, whose word never fell to the ground. But the Lord said, you're not right. He said, I have rejected him. For man does not see like I see. I look at the heart. And that's until he got to David. No matter how developed you are not infallible. And you are not God. You are not. When Samuel, he said, he took the correction. Look at Jonah. Jonah, God gave him a word that Nineveh was going to fall, and God told him to go. You know, he didn't want to go because he wanted the people to be destroyed. Because he knew that if he goes and the people will repent, then God will not, you know, do it. He was more interested in his prophecy coming to pass and people to destroy it than for the love of God to prevail. Don't be a Jonah kind of prophet. Be a Samuel kind of prophet. Be ready to say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Thank you, darling. She just reminded me. Do you know that Samuel prayed all night for Saul? When God told that Saul had been rejected, he didn't want Saul to die because he was the one who chose. Well, he was God who used him to choose Saul and anoint him. No good spiritual father wants to throw away their children. Have a Samuel kind of spirit, not a Jonah kind of spirit. I think the most important lesson that we all need to learn, and I speak to Olubi Johnson myself too, all of us, be careful about what you are discerning and what God said. The fact you know, and if you, as you grow spiritually, your perception and your discernment can become more and more accurate. But the fact that it becomes more and more accurate does not mean it is thus said the Lord. Be honest like Paul. God hasn't spoken. But this is what I perceive. And I receive the mercy of the Lord to be faithful. And it could be accurate, it could be correct. But give yourself that leeway. So you don't box yourself in and say it is God who said. Then when it doesn't come to pass, then it makes make you look like a liar or like a false prophet. You may not be a false prophet, but you're a careless prophet. Don't substitute thus said the Lord for what is your discernment. That, I believe, is what has happened in this American situation. Many other people just, because, the abortion issue, the homosexuality issue, they said, God said, no. Doesn't mean that God said, it's just your discernment based on, and those are not wrong things. So what do? Pray in the Spirit. And then let the kingdom of God come and the will be done. Because only God knows the hearts of all men. And only God knows how to work out all the details. God said something to me this morning. He said, I am the only one that is omniscient. When I give you anything, I just give you a word. A word is a fragment of a sentence. You don't know everything. The one I want you to know is the one I give you. He said, even if I wanted you to know everything, your capacity cannot contain it. Wait on me. What I give you, fine. What you discern, fine. And I want your discernment to get better and better to the point where you have the mind of Christ. So that, like Paul, you can say, the God has not said, but this is what I feel, and God will stamp it. But let God do that, not you. So you don't confuse the brethren. Christians will be confused. Many Christians are losing faith because all the prophets said that Donald Trump was going to be reelected and he has not been reelected. And it's because they're not false prophets. I don't believe many of them are false prophets. It's just they discern something and then put thus said the Lord upon it. Another thing I have to deal with here is the issue of dreams and visions. Are visions right? Yes. Are dreams right? Yes. You find it is in Acts chapter 2 as well as in Joel chapter 2. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Does God speak today by dreams? Yes. Does he speak today by visions? Yes, but not every day. That is where the error comes in. If everything I'm receiving from God, prophetic revelation, always seems to come only by dream and vision, I've entered a very gray area. God's primary way of speaking is through his word. Dreams and visions are the exception, not the rule. When they become the rule, Satan has entered. Kenneth Hagin warned us. I don't know why our brethren don't remember what Papa Hagin taught. Don't seek visions. Don't seek dreams. In fact, you can't even make a dream happen. But you know, if you're already open to it in the realm of the spirit, the devil can bring it to you. They're not wrong. But you cannot expect everything to be a vision or to be a dream. Every revelation. And then dreams are subjective. You have a dream and then it is you who had the dream. It's you who interprets it. Who can judge it? It's a very dangerous thing. I'm going to get to that in a minute, darling. The primary method that God speaks to us is through His Word. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 19, He says, we have also a more sure, ever say more sure word of prophecy. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is the word of God, the written word of God is more sure than any dream or any vision. Verse 20. Are you sleeping up there? Next verse. They're sleeping. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the what? Everybody scream it. Scripture. That's the more sure word of prophecy. The word that is inside the Bible is more authoritative than any dream or any vision. I got to say this too. You know something that the American church has fallen into, not only the American church, but even the church generally, even here in Nigeria too. If you tell somebody you have a revelation, but you didn't have a dream or a vision, they don't take you seriously. Now a person comes and says, I had a vision. They will call him and they will, you know, do. And this where I have written there. You know, the Lord said, and I learned this also from Kenneth Hagin. We are always looking after the spectacular and miss the supernatural. Revelation that comes from the word is just as supernatural as the one that comes through a vision or a dream. In fact, it is more authoritative, but it is not as spectacular. So when you don't have a spectacular, they don't believe you. Because we have not developed spiritually to the place where we respect God's word. So if somebody comes and says, last night as I was just sleeping, an angel just came to my room. And he was shaking like this. You know, and I saw a blue light here and I saw a red light here. Then he had a key on the floor. Then he picked it up and said, these are the keys of the kingdom. Everybody will believe. And somebody else comes and says, I was praying last night and the Lord gave me this word. And he gives it from Ephesians, from Colossians, from... They pay more attention to the man who had the vision of the angel than the man who had the revelation from the word. It's a complete distorted value system in the body of Christ. It must change. And what has happened with this election is a chastening. For all of us, we need to go back to the drawing board and put the word of God first priority over dreams and visions. We will still have visions. We will still have dreams. But dreams and visions will only come to confirm. I remember Kenneth Hagin's experience with Jesus. One of the early visions. This was 1950 something. I can't remember exactly when. And Jesus was talking to him in the vision. Then an evil spirit came between the two of them. And he was beginning to make noise. And Jesus kept on talking. As if the evil spirit was not there.
And nothing happened. Ken Hagin was surprised that Jesus didn't do anything. Then after he got tired of it, Ken Hagin said, "You evil spirit that's disturbing my communication, I cast you out." Then the evil spirit ran away. Jesus just kept on talking as if it never happened. So after the evil spirit had left, you know, Ken Hagin now spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, look at that evil spirit. It was disturbing me. You know, why didn't you cast him out?" You know what Jesus told him? He said, "If you didn't cast him out, I can't cast him out." He said, "What? I have never heard anything like that in all my life. There is nothing God cannot do." He said, "That's the problem with you people. You don't read your Bible properly. I gave all authority on the earth to man." And then you know what Jesus told him? Ken Hagin said, "Jesus, even though I'm seeing you, I'm hearing you with my own eyes and with my own ears, and I'm seeing you, you have to give me scripture. You have to give me at least 3 scriptures." And Jesus said, "I'll give you 4. And gave him scripture, you know, that we are given the authority to cast out. God is not going to cast out the devil for you. He's giving you the authority to cast it out. He's going to do it through you, but he's not going to do it for you. Are you listening to me? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, which I read earlier on, when Paul said, his grace, you know, he said, "Let the devil depart from me." God didn't allow the devil to go. He said, "My grace is sufficient for me." It is you who will cast out the devil. But I will put enough grace inside you with to give you enough life and power so that when you speak, the devil will be cast out. So God did not say the devil will not depart. Paul wanted God to do it independent of him. God said, "I have to do it through you." And for you to get sufficient grace, you need more humility. That's what God was telling him. Are you getting it? Jesus told Kenneth Hagin this. And gave him scripture. Another time when he appeared to him, he talked about David. You know, you can have what you say. Mark 11:23. And he said, David, before he killed Goliath, he said it 5 times. Every time Jesus appeared to Kenneth, he taught him from the word. He taught him. So if you have any vision or dream, if it is not in the word, I don't accept it. I don't care whether the thing was upside down with blue, red, yellow, and keys on the floor. I'm going to get there in a minute. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. We need to place priority on the word. The written word of God. And not only the letter, but the spirit of the word. That many Christians get deceived by the letter of the word. You know, Satan can appear to you and give you the letter of the word. He did it to Jesus. On the mount of temptation, he said, "Go and jump down." Psalm 91 says, "He has given his angels charge over." Correct! But wrong application. You're not supposed to go and start jumping off high buildings so that angels can catch you in front of everybody. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Are you listening to me? That's why you need not only just to know the letter of the Bible, you need to know the spirit of the person that wrote it. The character of the person that knows it. So you have the spirit and the word. And you know, like I shared with my wife many years ago, I learned it from Smith Wigglesworth through, you know, through Kenneth Hagin and others. You know, all word and no spirit, you will dry up. Everybody say dry up. All spirit and no word will make you blow up. Everybody say blow up. But the spirit and the word will make you grow up. Let's say it again. All word and no spirit will make you dry up. All spirit and no word will make you blow up. This election has blown up in our faces. Yeah, it's blown up in the face of the church. Even the unbelievers know we said God said. And they are now mocking us. "I thought you said God said." But the spirit and the word will make us grow up. And that's what we need to do now. You know what? God has shown us now that we are not where we thought we were. So we need to go back to the drawing board and begin to pray and grow up spiritually. We want to start operating like Elijah and like Elisha, where we haven't got there yet. You know what Elijah said? He said, "It shall not rain
but according to my word. We haven't got there yet. Many of us haven't got there yet. But we will get there. We're getting there. Sit down as I close. I don't know if I've helped anybody. Isaiah 8, verse 20. Now, I've got to read verse 19 and 20 together as I close, because I again want to emphasize what Papa Hagen taught us. And that's why I, Olubi Johnson, by the grace and the mercy of God, I have been very, very conservative over the years. You don't see me dabbling into, you know, prophecy and word of wisdom and all of that, because I learned this lesson from the fathers. Listen to what he said. Verse 19. Let's start from verse 18 to get the full prophetic context. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for what? And wonders in Israel. Most Christians know all of this. In the Lord of hosts who dwell in Mount Zion. Great. And when they shall say unto you, seek them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, shall not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Then he's correcting them. To the law and to the testimony. Back in the Old Testament. There's something I have to say. God, please help me not to forget. To the law and to the testimony. In those days, all they had was the Torah and the prophets. At this time, it was Isaiah. So all he had was the prophets that were before him, you know, 1st and 2nd Samuel, Chronicle, you know, all of that. All those things were just being written at that time. All of them. They had not been fully written yet. Isaiah was around in the time of Hezekiah. Remember? So as 1st Kings and 2nd Kings were being written, Isaiah too was being written. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is what? I don't care how much the devil shakes. Don't accept it. If it is not in line with the law and the testimony. Not only the spirit, not only the letter, but also the spirit. What I taught in the morning, the wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Pass it, even if it is in line with the Bible, even if it's quoting scripture, pass it through that filter to find out if it is truly God. And you know what? I just got a text. It takes patience to do that. That's why he that believeth shall not make haste. And most people want lesser kese. They want to make haste. They want a prophetic word now. What I said, I will not forget. And the Lord just said this to me. I believe I'm going to close with this. The reason why, hear me and hear me well, there were more visions and dreams in the Old Testament and in the transition into the New Testament in the time of Paul and others was because they did not have the full scripture. They didn't have the full canon of scripture. Not only that, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They weren't born again in the Old Testament. So for God to get across to them, he had to come many times through the avenue of visions and dreams. But now that the New Testament is complete, we will still have visions. We will still have dreams, but we don't need them as much as they needed them then. And therefore, the frequency at which they happen will be less. You can take that to the bank. When you hear a person who is seeing Jesus every 2 weeks, and he sees an angel daily. As I'm talking to you now, Pastor Balogun, I just see one angel at your side there. We make a mockery of sacred things. God doesn't operate like that. Sure, you can see an angel occasionally, but it's not normal. And I use Kenneth Hagin as my benchmark. He was a great man. He wasn't perfect, certainly. You know, he was a great man. All those years, you can count on your fingers the number of times. You can count the number of fingers. When you start seeing angels every day, and spirits every day, familiar spirits have entered. And you know, familiar spirits, he can come. The Bible says, and Kenneth Hagin warned us about this. He said, you know, for the devil can come as an angel of light. If you have a vision and something comes to you and say, I am Jesus, how will you know it's not Jesus? Have you seen Jesus before? Is there a pic? It's true. And he tells you, I'm the Lord Jesus Christ. He wears, you know, white or whatever with his sandals. And then he tells you, and then he gives you some scripture. How can you discern that it is not Jesus? Only by what he says. And if you yourself have enough of the word of God to be able to discern. And if you are looking for that kind of thing, if you are seeking visions, if you are seeking spectacular manifestations, because, I just got a word, darling, you know, because we are living in perilous times. And it's a time of the doctrines of devils. A lot of evil spirits have been unleashed into the church to deceive those who want to be deceived. You want to say something? Hallelujah. It's true. Don't seek visions. Don't seek dreams. Do not seek spectacular manifestations. Seek the word. Pray a lot in tongues. Fast. Crucify your flesh. And if God wants, he may give you a vision. When it's necessary, he will give a vision to clarify something. Ah, I just remembered another thing. I learned this one from Kenneth Copeland. True story. Copeland was a young minister. He came to the ministry in 1967. You know, he was 20-something years old, about 30. He was born in 1937. So, he was working with Kenneth, with Oral Roberts. You know, and then later on, he got to know Kenneth Hagin, and you know, so he would hear stories about Kenneth Hagin and Oral Roberts that Jesus appeared to them. So he went to God, and he said, God, you are a respecter of persons. He said, you have appeared to Kenneth Hagin, you have appeared to Oral Roberts, you appeared to A.A. Allen, Eminko, me, Kenneth Copeland, you have to appear to me. God didn't answer him. He kept pressing and pressing, fasting and praying. So one day the Holy Ghost spoke to him. He said, if you keep pushing this thing, I will appear to you. He said, but you will set your ministry back about 10 or 15 years and you may never catch up again. He said, please don't appear to me. And you know, the revelation knowledge God gave Kenneth Copeland is deeper than the people that had the visions. I'm a beneficiary. There was another guy looking for vision and dreams. So Jesus appeared to him once, taught him about casting out devils and everything, you know, and he was happy. Then he wanted Jesus to appear to him again. He didn't appear. So he went on a 40-day fast and nearly killed himself. Then finally Jesus appeared to him. He read him Ephesians chapter 6 and disappeared. How can you fast for 40 days just to get a vision which you could have read? You know, he kept on. Then familiar spirits started applying. He died prematurely and his ministry was destroyed. Don't seek visions. Let us pray. Talk to God. Understanding prophecy and the prophetic ministry. Stop seeking the spectacular. The supernatural is there for you all the time. The word and the spirit.
If God wants, he will give you the spectacular. If he doesn't give you the spectacular, keep growing. Get the balance. Let's talk to God. Put one hand on your heart. In your presence. Bidemi, me, pick it up.
In your presence.
We are content. We don't need visions.
We are content.
Hallelujah.
In your presence.
We are content.
We are content.
In your presence.
Your presence, there is light.
There is light.
Expressions of your love.
Expressions of your love.
Revelations of your power and might.
In
your presence,
we now bring
a love song offering.
We're in the presence of our King. In your presence, sing it, hallelujah.
In your presence, in your presence,
we are content.
We are content.
In your presence,
in your presence,
we are content.
We are content.
In your presence. There is light.
Expressions of your love.
Expressions of your love.
Revelations of your power and might.
In your presence.
In your presence,
we now bring
a love song offering.
We're in the presence of your. In your presence there is light.
In your presence.
In your presence there is light.
Expressions
of your love.
Revelations.
Your power and might. In your presence.
Put one hand on your heart, raising a hand to God. The scripture I haven't said, the Holy Spirit just reminded me. It's in 1 Thessalonians. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. That's the instruction of how to deal with prophecy. When you hear someone say prophesy, don't despise it. Listen. Then check it out. The part that is God that agrees with the other, you take it. The part that is not God, you. That's why I say, prove all things. Then hold fast to that. That means that there will be a part of it that may not be good. You will not err if you do this. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess my sins. I confess our sins. The sins of the church that seek the spectacular above the supernatural, that seek dreams and visions above revelation from the written word. Father, have mercy on us. We receive cleansing by the blood of Jesus. We remit our sins and the sins of our brethren all over the world, in America, the American church, that have fallen into some of these errors. We ask for mercy. We ask that you give life and power into their spirits to help them to repent. To help all of us to repent. Help us, Lord, to seek the word. To seek you by your spirit. Through praying in the spirit. Fasting. Self-denial. So that we can receive pure revelation. Through by your spirit. From your word. Help us to break this addiction for the spectacular. And learn to grow by the word and the spirit. And Father, as we move into the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, as you pour out your spirit without measure, Let dreams and visions come as you will to clarify things for us that you need to be clarified. But help us, Lord, not to seek them. Help us, Lord, not to desire them above the word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is a wonderful teacher, who will help us to grow into Christ in all things, so that we will have the mind of Christ, so that our ordinary discernment will get more and more accurate, that when we say, though not I have spoken, though not the Lord has spoken, and I have spoken, you will still back it. Father, have mercy on us. Help us to remain humble. Help us to remain honest as we operate in the things of the Spirit, especially in the gift of the prophecy and in receiving from the prophetic office. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray the Spirit. Lord, have mercy on us. Mercy. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. Zelika, rika tolo mashela bereke klama tolo mashto frenes. Lombre klama tolo matolo matu fredingar do fres. Tolo matu freke klama tolo matu freke klama tolo matu frede. Lombre des. Tolo matu fredingaras. Tolo matu fredingar klama tu fres. Non klama tu fres. Zo fredek. Zo fredingaras. In Jesus' name. We're now going to share the benediction. After the benediction, the choir will continue to minister for about 5-10 minutes. And all the information about our books and other things will be on the screen, so you can help yourself concerning all of those things. Remember, the 3 hours after prayer meeting is online. It's not on site, you know. So immediately after the service, you know, we go home and then we join the prayer meetings online through Zoom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts on you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, turn to neighbor and say, you are led by the Spirit through the more sure word of prophecy of the scripture, in Jesus' name.